One more reading from the Bible, this time from Matthew chapter 28, and I will read from verse 1 through verse 10. It says verse 8 in the bulletin, but I'd like to extend that by a couple of verses. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Let's pray one more time. Gracious God, as we approach these words about the resurrection of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray that we will approach them with open minds and hearts, ready to understand and appreciate the fact that the resurrection of Jesus is about to be burst on our hearts with a new energy and a new vigor to help us appreciate and be convicted by the truth of it more than ever before in our lives, so that we will be glad to belong to you and be eager to share this good news with others around us. Easter is a great and glorious day, Lord, and we humbly pray with thanksgiving that you have brought us together to worship you on this special day. In thy name we pray, amen. They watched as Jesus died slowly on the cross. They saw his hands outstretched with the nails penetrating each palm. They saw him as his legs were crossed on the base of that vertical post, a spike driven through them to hold him tightly to the cross. They watched as Jesus gasped for breath, and they heard with great clarity his final words, "It is finished." When Jesus died, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the wife of Zebedee, were there, so Matthew tells us. But there were others too. And when he died, Joseph of Arimathea, so Luke tells us, went to Pilate and asked if he could have the body in order to give it a proper burial. Joseph, so Luke tells us, was a righteous and a devout man. In fact, he did not support the decision that was made in order to put Jesus to death. He voted against it. Pilate granted him the permission to bury this body, and so the body was placed in a rock-hewn tomb. The next day was the Sabbath day, and one can only imagine the level of grief that each of these persons who loved the Lord experienced during this intervening day. This one in whom they had placed such hope, the one who had changed so many lives, the one in whom they had trusted, the one whom they were convicted by the truth of his message, was now dead. W.H. Auden, in the 1930s, wrote a poem that expresses his grief upon the death of a friend. It describes the level of grief, I suspect, that these first century disciples had and followers had when they thought the Lord had died. It goes like this: "He was my north, my south, my east and west, my working week and my Sunday rest, my noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. I thought that love would last forever. I was wrong. The stars are not wanted now. Put out every one. Pack up the moon and dismantle the sun. Pour away the ocean and sweep up the wood, for nothing now can ever come to good." That's the depth of grief felt by those who had watched Jesus die. Now, the Gospels tell us that on the first morning after the Sabbath, the women went to the tomb in order to anoint the body and to prepare it for permanent burial. But what they saw when they arrived at the tomb was something beyond anything they could ever have imagined. We read in verse 2 again, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." These persons who witnessed the scene had never seen anything like this before. And as the scripture later tells us, they were both afraid and filled with joy. This first day of the week, a little over 2,000 years ago, was a day that changed everything for these women, as it changes everything for anyone who understands and is owned by, so to speak, the resurrection message. Easter changes everything. Perhaps that is why the Lord told us about here the fact that a great earthquake occurred when the resurrection happened. Maybe it was a visible and experiential reality that God wanted to impress upon people in order to convey to them that nothing in the world would ever be the same again, that Christ's death and resurrection would turn everything over, that death would now be dead, Satan's victory would now become defeat, and death would be swallowed up in God's victory. Easter changes everything. Now, that would be objectively true, and it needs to be underscored, that would be objectively true even if no one responded to it in faith. God's redemptive act on the cross and his resurrection work on Easter Sunday morning did something objectively between the creation and the Creator that is valid whether any of us respond to it or not. So the effectiveness of the cross and the effectiveness of the resurrection does not depend on human response. Easter changes everything just by virtue of it having happened. But if we want to share in that victory, if we want to share in that change, if we want to experience the marvel of what God accomplished, it is something that we must own for ourselves by faith. I don't know how many of you here this morning came because it was the thing to do. I don't know how many of you are here, only God knows, who are here on the strength of Easter by virtue of the fact that it is simply tradition and habit. If that is the case, Easter changes nothing for you. But if you are here because you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you know full well that the work that he did for you on the cross and the resurrection that substantiated and corroborated it is effective forever. It has changed everything for you. And if you do not know Christ as your Savior today, I simply want to give this encouragement that you understand that the truths about which I am speaking and about which we have sung this morning are not simply truths that we espouse because it is tradition or habit. The truth about Jesus Christ having died on the cross for your sin and having been raised to corroborate and confirm the authenticity of his atoning work, that truth needs to be owned in a very personal way. It can't be an act of the mind alone. It needs to be accepted and received in a personal way. And when that happens, you will soon discover The transformation that takes place within you, because Easter has changed everything for you. These past few weeks, I have been through a number of grieving situations, some of which were with people in our congregation, others of which were people outside the body. And I can tell you that when I stand before a congregation who is grieving the loss of a loved one, and I am able to say to them that if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, everything will be different in a positive way. When I can say that with conviction and with authority and with integrity, it is a gift and a statement and an expression that goes beyond anything this world can possibly imagine. Because it changes everything. For example, it changes our future. It is said that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, I can't say anything about taxes, although those are certain enough. But death is something that it really lays hold of every one of us. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is able to say that death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto Christ, who has given us through the God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So important is this day and this event that the Apostle Paul says, if it didn't happen, everything that we have to do with regard to Christian faith is vanity. It's in vain. It's futile. Easter is big. The cross and the resurrection are the biggest events in the course of human history, for they are the means by which God has reconciled us to Himself. It doesn't get any bigger than that. Easter changes our future. In Europe, for century after century, people looked westward to the Atlantic Ocean and they saw the end of the world. The emblem on the Spanish shield read, in fact, Ne plus ultra, there is nothing beyond. And then in 1492, Columbus sailed westward to test the truth of that. And sometime later, he returned to Spain and to Europe to say, there is something beyond. It's a glorious paradise. I have seen it for myself. So moved was the King of Spain by this testimony that the motto on the Spanish shield was changed from Ne plus ultra, there is nothing beyond, to plus ultra, there is something beyond, and it's grand and glorious. The motto on the hearts of those believers in Jesus Christ between Good Friday and Easter Sunday was Ne plus ultra. They had joined the thousands, the millions of persons who had preceded them, looking death straight in the face and looked at it as if it was the end of the world. But then Jesus sailed into that and returned on Easter Sunday to say it's not Ne plus ultra. It is plus ultra. There is something beyond. It is great and it is glorious. Easter changes the future. Those of you who are here today who are grieving the loss of loved ones, sometimes years ago, but even most recently, find your confidence and your consolation, your hope and your reassurance and your joy in the fact that Easter has changed the course of future for all who know the Lord. Easter also changes our past. Well, you say, how does it change our past? Well, one of the things that we discover if we live long enough is that we all have a past. And that anything we've done or said or thought that is sinful will separate us from God forever. Think about that. Sin is not just something we do, in fact, it's a condition we're in, and it will separate us from God forever. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans says. And then says, the wages of sin is death. And so those of us who have understood the cross have come to say, Lord, I am laying down at the foot of the cross everything that I've ever said, everything that I've ever done, everything that I've ever thought, every attitude that I've ever cultivated that is sinful and separating me from you, I lay it at the foot of the cross because I can see on the cross there is an open door to eternal life with you. It's the resurrection that substantiates, confirms, authenticates, undergirds, reinforces the cross message. And so as you look back over the course of your life and you can survey and see all those things that really will separate you from a righteous God, you can know that because of the cross and its corroboration, its confirmation on Easter Sunday, that Easter has changed everything. And not only does it change your past, it changes any sin you might experience in the future because the door is now open for you. So Easter changes everything. It's big. The future, the past, and the present. That's about the whole of it, I would say. We have a woman in our church who's in her early 40s, I believe that's how old she is, who has been undergoing treatment for a brain tumor for the last number of years. She has undergone 4 surgeries, the most recent of which happened just a few short weeks ago. After that, this last surgery, she had an initial flurry of energy and feel good. But this past week, she has suffered something of a setback. We're not quite sure why or what's going on. Not sure if it's related to the problem that they are trying to address, or if it's related to the medication she's taking, or if it's related to the bruising of the brain that she's undergone because of the surgery. But she's had a hard week. And I wrote to her last night to ask how she was doing, wrote by email. And she wrote back in a number of words that included these 2 statements. She said, I'm hopeful that this isn't going to be something that is long-suffering. Last night she wrote, I may go to the ER tonight if it gets intolerable for me. But then she closed with these words. Thanks for checking in, David. Happy Easter to you and your family. Christ is risen. He has truly risen. I could hardly speak after I read that, because we realize that there is enormous gravity in this Easter message. It changes everything. And it has infused into this struggling woman's present a sense of strength and hope and joy and confidence that makes that which she has to undergo bearable. And if you're with her for any length of time, even victorious. Easter changes everything. And so the women come to the grave, and their lives are transformed. And the disciples who see the risen Lord have their lives transformed. And all who encounter the resurrected Christ have their lives transformed. And you and I sit here today because of that. What a blessing we've received. The end of these words today are encouraging to us because Jesus said to these women who were filled with fear and awe, greetings, do not be afraid. Do you think the Lord meant that? Do not be afraid. And I must tell you, he said, go and tell my brothers. So the word to you and me today, in the context of awareness that Easter has transformed everything, our present, our future, and our past, the word to you and me today from the Lord himself is, don't be afraid. That isn't to say we don't encounter things in life that unsettle us, but on a very deep level, on a soul level, on an existential level, Jesus says, don't be afraid. And then he says, go and tell. That is to say, once we have been the recipients of this great and glorious transformation, once Easter has changed everything for you and me, our responsibility, our obligation, our privilege is to go and declare it to everyone around us. How could we possibly keep this message to ourselves? It's changed everything. Let's pray. Lord, when we are taken over by that reality, words are even hard to come by. And so I pray that as we leave the sanctuary today, we will leave like the women did, filled with awe, but also great joy. Joy that sweeps over our future, and joy that sweeps over our past, and joy that sweeps over our present, and frees us from fear. I pray, Lord, then, that we will not keep this message to ourselves, but like the countless numbers of Christians who have gone before us, we will go out and tell others, that others who succeed us in history, others in our homes and in our workplaces, in our schools, in our places of recreation, will come to know the message of the resurrected Savior. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that has changed everything. Amen.